We've been doing a series of 10 messages on the 10 most important things to share with your Roman Catholic friends and loved ones. The final message, number 10 of 10, is the sharing of your personal testimony on how you came to Christ. I immediately thought of Brother Steve Scheidler and the opportunity that we would have to hear his testimony. I would venture to say that most of you have never heard Steve give his testimony on how he came to the Lord. So I'm going to ask him to come and share those things that God has placed on his heart to share not only with you, but to our listening audience, many of which are around the world, that would love to hear the things that God can share with them through him. Steve?
Let me start with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you will guide this lisping, stammering tongue, Lord, to help me speak of things, Lord, that have happened in my heart and in my life, and these things that you brought me through to try to help others to see the process that goes through a Roman Catholic coming to salvation and assurance through Jesus Christ and what he alone did for each of us. I just pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through this testimony. I know it is probably very similar to many's, but Lord, this is the one that you've laid on my heart to speak of the process that you took me through to save me, Lord, from sin, death, hell, the grave, to save me from enemies, which are any of those things, people, otherwise, that would draw us in another direction away from you. So I ask, Lord, that you'd guide my lips today, that it might glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, Pastor starts with the verse in the bulletin. Let me read it to you. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I would propose to you that the hand of the enemy is anyone, anything that keeps us from the Lord and keeps us from our salvation.
Amen.
And it's not just the enemies that we think of that don't love the Lord. It's the enemies of the flesh. It's the enemies that are all around us, the principalities and powers that we face. And those things that would, as we draw close to the Lord, those things that would do everything that they could in our lives to draw us from the Lord. When Pastor asked me to speak today, he said if I would give my testimony, and said 5 or 7 minutes. And I told him, I said, well, I said, all I have to do is say everything you said, because they were all true. And each item that he spoke of was true in my life. And then Wednesday night, he says, Steve, take as much time as you need. So then it couldn't be a matter of echoing the same things that he said, but more of my life and the process and how I went from being lost to being saved. So as I look back on my life of 42 years ago, born in 1950, in 1970, August of 1970, was really when the conversion process started. I was 20 years old, but I need to share with you my upbringing, the difficulties, the struggles that one faces when coming to an assurance of salvation. I'd like to hit 10 areas fairly briefly, but to give you an overview of where I'm going with my testimony. The first thing is the teachings that I received as a child. Yes, I was raised a Roman Catholic. The truth that they told, the teen years that I went through, the changes that occurred in my life, my thoughts, a time when I had to think on my own. And don't we all begin to question those things that we're taught, because we need to own those ourselves. The fourth item is a faithful witness and a testimony from someone that loved the Lord, who really spoke to my heart, and this was in August of 1970. My fifth point are my struggles to salvation. Sixth, my altar call that I made, but I was not saved. Seventh, the struggles that tore at my heart to make an altar call and to think that God didn't want me. The eighth point was I finally was saved. This process from August of 1970 to March of 1971, 6 or 7 months of studying, searching, praying, wanting to believe, not knowing how to believe, wanting to know the truth, not knowing whom to believe, and the struggles that you don't see yourself as worthy of being one that God would save. My ninth point is the actual time that I stepped out of a Roman Catholic church for the last time and began going to a Bible-believing church in August of 1977. A 7-year process. You may be witnessing to others and thinking, why don't they just come out from among them and be separate? And I have an answer for that. Number 10, witnessing and rejection. And then I'd like to close with God's words of encouragement to me. So the first one is the process. Yes, raised a Roman Catholic. The goal, wanting to get to heaven, not sure how to make it. I still remember in second grade, a priest came in to talk to our class. And I told him that I wanted to be a priest. And he said, why? And I said, because I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. His answer wasn't one of assurance. It wasn't like he said, you just listen to me and you're going to have the right way to go. It was nothing that stuck in my heart that gave me hope. I thought, well, if a priest can't be saved, who can be? Truths that the Roman Catholic Church taught. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. They had us learn the Ten Commandments from which we knew that we were sinners. And isn't what the New Testament tells us, that we are sinners. The law is there to condemn us. They did teach about the death, burial, and resurrection. They taught repentance. They taught confession. They taught there was not only to be sorry for the sins, but to try to do what we could to not commit them again. And all of these things and many more, the sacraments, the holy days, they made you never feel good enough to get to heaven. Yes, my second point is errors. These errors would come to me later, as I struggled through my salvation. These errors of praying the rosary. When I was in the Catholic Church, they made movies, very compelling movies, about the Lord speaking to Bernadette. And it wasn't the Lord, it was the Virgin Mary that gave her the rosary to say. A direct contradiction to God's word. It says, don't pray vain, repetitious prayers as the Pharisees do. There was errors that came about that I saw later. But I want to share this right now because we see that there is truth mixed with error. And it's so compelling when you see truth and you believe that. And then when they give you errors, you can't discern the truth from the errors. I was taught that Roman Catholicism was the true church. It was founded upon Peter. Peter was the first pope. But I was also taught that if I died with a mortal sin on my soul, I would go to hell. It was like you had to rush to the confessional right away. Because if you didn't, and you died, you would end up in hell. Oh, things like, don't miss church. You have to go to confession at least, I think it was once a month. You had to observe holy days. You couldn't eat meat on Friday. There were so many not to do this and not to do that. And when you look at it, they were works. They were works-based, not grace-based. Yes, instead of Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, it was the Roman Catholic Church that was the way, the truth, and hopefully the life. There was no emphasis on reading the Bible. You were not to interpret the Bible. You were only allowed to read religious books that the Catholic Church gave approval of. I saw Roman Catholicism as strict, punitive, one based on fear, and I wondered where love was. My dad has passed on, and I still believe in the commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother. So the things that I want to share with you now is not to dishonor my father, but to also stress that I thank God for what I went through. The father that I had, the mother that I had, because somehow in God's plan it all worked for His glory. Why shouldn't I believe Roman Catholicism that when in my home life, my father was very strict, he was very punitive, I was afraid of him. I never heard him say, I love you. My dad did not go to church. My mom was faithful at taking us to church. I was in a Catholic school until I was in seventh grade, learned all that I could of the Catholic doctrines. I served faithfully in the Catholic Church. I was an altar boy. I went to church as often as I could. I prayed before I received communion that the Lord would forgive me of any sins. I remember my first communion in second grade. I felt so unworthy. We were supposed to say, thou art not worthy to enter under my roof, but say the words and my soul shall be healed. And when I got back to my pew, I spit the communion wafer out of my mouth. I was not worthy. We weren't supposed to touch it. I touched it. I knew I was going to die then. I knew that was it. I remember the nun just telling me to put it back in my mouth. So I did. I remember my mom and dad both being there. Again, what was I doing? I was doing those things that I was taught to do that were works. But still, where was grace? Grace came by doing works. In my teen years, point number three, I did a continuation of these things out of obligation. I went to church, I went to confession, but I began to ask myself, was I doing this out of fear or out of love or out of both? And yes, it was out of fear, but it was out of love for Christ, the church, the belief that these grown-ups and these adults would not lie to me as a small child. And we all know that Roman Catholics are very sincere people. They mean very well. So in my late teen years, I began to question the teachings. I felt that I would never be good enough, so what was the point in trying? Self-reformation doesn't work. It leads to frustration. It leads to failure. And that's what I was going through, and not Holy Spirit regeneration. Things were hopeless. I felt things were hopeless, and I was in despair. Point number four. A faithful witness. August of 1970. I was still working for a veterinarian at the time. It was during our lunch break when we did surgeries. 2-hour lunch break, but many animals do surgery on, treat that needed medical attention. And the office assistant, the secretary that ran the front desk, had her Bible sitting on the desk. And I picked it up. And she was sitting there. I said, "Do you really believe everything in here?" And she said, "What's in there that you don't believe?" Conviction. How could I say? I had never read it. I had been taught things to learn. I had never read it. What's in there that you don't believe? That prompted me to read. Why? Because I saw something in her life that I didn't have. Remember, I was in a time of hopelessness and despair, and what's the point? And yet I'll keep doing these things, but what's the point? But in her, I saw something that there was an assurance. There was something that I didn't have, and it prompted me to read. I wanted to know the answers. Doesn't God's Word say, "Search me and you shall find me, when you have searched for me with all your heart"? So point number five, my conversion process that was over a 6 or 7 month period. I began searching. I began reading the Bible faithfully. It was just unbelievable how the Bible came alive to me. How it just spoke to my heart. Things that were answers. And I started going to the church that she attended. And I started fellowshipping with her and her husband. And then other young adults in that church, that they all had something I didn't have. And oh, how my heart ached to want the same thing. But believing that, no, you can't know this. These people are led astray. But the Word of God kept eating away at my heart. Scriptures like, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And oh, how I wanted to know the truth. We ought to believe God and not man. "You shall seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all your heart." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I was reading these verses that just were a blessing to me. And then I started reading things like, "Call no man father except your Father in heaven." From that time on, I couldn't call a priest father. "Don't pray vain repetitions." I stopped praying the rosary and vain repetitions. Stopped making the sign of the cross, which was an invention of Roman Catholicism. I started wondering about these things that I was taught. Baptism, confirmation, going to church. And how doing these things got you to heaven, baptized into the family of God, confirmed. What did that mean? Those were works. Did I believe that in my heart? Well, probably as a young boy I did, but as I struggled, did I? I continued searching and listening to new friends, saved friends. And I struggled with that, and I went back and I talked to the priest. And I'd say, "You know, I have questions about this baptism thing. And I have questions about, why should I tell my sins to you? And I have questions about calling no man father except your Father in heaven." And he was trying to be helpful, but it wasn't enough because it wasn't based on the Word of God. Or if it was, it was based on things like Old Testament taxonomy. You know, the Catholic Church mixes Old Testament rituals with New Testament teachings. Things like, for example, in the center of the altar of the Catholic Church, there was a veil. And inside the veil, you opened it, and that's where you put the chalice and the communion. Just like the Old Testament, how the priest was the only one allowed to go in there. You were taught to believe that. And that was Old Testament. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The music that was selected today was just a blessing, all about salvation, redemption through the blood of Christ. And music played a big part in my salvation because I started singing songs that were based on the Word of God. Started seeing people that somehow or another, they took the words that were in the Bible And they were able to express these in music. And music spoke to my heart. The Word of God spoke to my heart. My new friends spoke to my heart. All of these are little seeds. We talk about some water, some do this, some do that. And that's what it takes. How often do we go to someone to share the gospel and maybe we walk away feeling, what was the point? Didn't do anything. But then somebody else will come and water. And somebody else will come and feed. And it all adds up. And it's all important. And you may not see your part today. Point number 6, my altar call. August 1970, I started searching. February 1971, I went to a David Wilkerson crusade. He wrote The Cross and the Switchblade, downtown Orlando. February of 1971, heard a gentleman by the name of Dallas Holm sing. Some of the songs he sang was a couple of them I sang in here. The Good Samaritan song and others. And I wanted to sing those for the Lord. So I made my altar call, and I made it at the same time with the office secretary that worked at the vet clinic. I made it with her husband, Bill Carrier. Bill later would be the best man at my wedding, our wedding. My two brothers were the other two. Bill was really my first brother in the Lord. I saw a change in him. I still saw a lostness in myself. I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I left that night saying that again, all I said were words. I still didn't have an assurance. I still lacked faith. I struggled, and I struggled because of the Roman Catholic teachings that they were the way, the truth. So there was a tug of war between the Word of God and what I was seeing on one hand, and then 20 years of being a faithful Roman Catholic. A month I struggled. Point number 7. I felt that I would never be good enough. I felt that it can't be this simple. I felt that I was a sinner and God didn't want me. I felt it was all too confusing. You know, I read a book a couple of years ago by A.W. Tozer. And he spoke of his struggles through salvation and how he didn't feel worthy. And one day he would have hope and the next day he would be discouraged. And he'd have hope and he'd be discouraged and hope and be discouraged. And that's exactly what I was struggling with. I didn't know it at the time. I hadn't read his book, but I certainly identified with it when I did. It was approximately a month of struggle. And point number 8, in March, I was speaking these things to myself. God, I'm not worthy. God, I just can't do it. God, I've tried not to sin, but I'm still a sinner. God, I'm trying to do everything right. And it's just, I don't feel like I'm making the mark. And then it was like a voice finally spoke to me. A voice in my heart that Jesus confirmed and said, you can't. You can't do it. I did it for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. By faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By faith, I knew that that was the answer. Why did Christ come? Why did he die on the cross? What can I add to that? And when Christ spoke to my heart, even Dell's words today in Sunday school spoke to me. Dell said, and I quote, when you understand who God is, you will fall to your knees. And I did, all alone, went to my knees. And when I got up from my knees, I didn't have the scripture to tell me this, but I knew that I was saved. I knew there was nothing I could add to what Christ did. Not a thing. It was Him and all Him. 100%. And being raised a Roman Catholic, you always want to do that 1% or 2% or that 10%. And if you're listening to this message, all I can say to you is Christ did it all by faith. So March of 1971, 6-7 months of struggle, I was saved. It was at the end of the story. Point number 9, leaving Catholicism. Saved in March of 1971, searching in August of 1970. And it wasn't until August of 1977, 7 years, before I stepped out of the Roman Catholic Church for the last time and began going to a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. At the same time that I was going through my own conversion process, there was someone else very close in my life that was also going through his conversion process. And that was my brother Gary. Gary had already come out from among them and be ye separate. I had not. I kept feeling like if I stay in there, I'm going to help others. Jumping in quicksand will not save anybody. Come out from among them. And Gary said, well, do you believe in? Do you believe in? Do you believe in? And those were the things that Pastor brought out. Those 9 points that we've covered. Believe in calling the priest father. Believe in confessionals. Believe in praying to saints. Believe in praying to Mary. All of these do's. And I says, no, I don't believe in those anymore. I believe what the Bible says. And Gary says, you're compromising. You're compromising. And so my wife and I left the Catholic Church and started going to the church that many of you were also in attendance at. What a blessing to hear the Word of God taught. What a blessing to see the words in Scripture. Yes, there was a time of number 10, witnessing and rejection. Rejection started early, not just at this time. Through that 7-year period of being in the Roman Catholic Church, my life changed. My life was different. Marianne and I started dating. We love the Lord. Marianne has her own conversion story. But things happened that were disheartening. Things like a week before we were to be married, the Catholic priest that was going to marry us called us into his office and said, I understand that after I marry you, that you're going to leave the Catholic Church. Well, it wasn't true because I had no intention of leaving. I had intention of helping others, but he wasn't going to marry us. But we did. We got married and I didn't lie to him. I believe that that was the right thing to do, was to stay and help. Somewhere in that time period of 72 to 77, somewhere in there, my mom had a heart attack. My brother and I had witnessed to her. My dad had overheard things. I'm sure my mom said things to him. My mom had a heart attack, and my dad blamed my brother and myself for causing it. And he looked right at us and pointed his finger and he says, I don't want to hear the word of God spoken in my house ever again. Again, the fear was there. Even as a young adult, 22, 23, 24, I was afraid of my father. That was part of my problem in getting saved. How could God the Father love me when I knew that I was worthless? And you know what? The Bible tells us we are. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yes, God's word helped, but there's still inner struggles that go on. And some verses came to me. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And I'll close with 2 last things. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Until a person comes to realize that the Bible is not any other book, it is a perfect book, inspired divinely by God, then they will still believe their self-religion, whatever it may be. I've even said to a Jewish friend of mine, do you believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? No, I can't believe that. He's the one that told me, he says, you know, you're a Christian and I'm a Jew. He says, we have a lot of things in common. And he brought up the Old Testament. And yes, we did have a lot of things in common. But he didn't see Christ as a Messiah. And yes, in the Old Testament, they were saved by doing those things that God said to do, offer sacrifice, blood offerings to God. But to miss that Christ died at the Passover and that His blood was the final completion of that chapter, how can people miss what seems so obvious? Again, the world, friends, the enemy, those things that pull us away. So I close with, to you here listening today and any others that may hear this, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Read it, believe it. Your eternal life depends upon it. Thank you.
While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you've heard Steve's testimony shared. There may be someone listening here in our auditorium, or even through our internet ministry. You've been in the same boat. You've been chasing the wind, trying to work your way towards God's acceptance. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you come to the finished work of Jesus Christ, the rest giver? I'm wondering if you won't take the time to pray this prayer in your heart. If you've never trusted in what Jesus did for you, pray this prayer of surrender. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Your word tells me all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Forgive me, Lord, for trying to establish my own righteousness, the rituals of a church, the dogmas of men. I now listen to your words, Lord Jesus, words that express your love and your sacrifice for me. I believe that you so love the world, dear God, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord Jesus, I turn from my own works to your works, and I rest on what you accomplished in your righteousness and in your sacrifice on the cross for me. I ask you to save me. I receive your gospel that you died, you were buried, and you rose again. And I want to be ready by receiving Jesus Christ, in whom I place all of my faith and trust. Thank you for coming into my heart and receiving me. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer, I want you to contact us. We have literature that can help you to get started right in the faith. We have counsel to help you to get established in a Bible-believing church, where you can grow and you can see others in your family come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Heavenly Father, bless us as we've been together under the sound of your word. Thank you for your servant that you have used this day to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.